When you need the independence to speak your mind, you take it on the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5 FM.
Welcome back. And good afternoon to you, Trinidad and Tobago. Good afternoon to the world. It's just about 32 minutes after 4. It's Gary Vida Company, only on Freedom 106.5 FM. Oh yeah, the best. This is the station where you get to speak your mind, the station where talk matters. And we're not going to jump straight into Tasty Tuesdays. And not just any regular, smegular Tasty Tuesdays. No offense, Chef Sean. Okay? We're going to be talking with Michelle Talukdar. Yes. I don't believe I was pronouncing your name incorrectly all the time. It's Talukdar.
Yes,
Talukdar. It sounds fancy. Talukdar.
Sounds good when you say it. Good afternoon.
So, Michelle, now, I mean, let me tell you a bit about Michelle, right? In addition to just talking about barbecue and other stuff, because I know you have questions about barbecue and how you make your barbecue, don't forget you can send us a message on WhatsApp, 306-1065, and you can call us and let us know how you make your barbecue. But let me tell you a bit about Michelle. Michelle Talukdar is a Trini born and raised. And she started off her tertiary education journey in Port of Spain. No, in Spain.
Yes.
Where she obtained her bachelor's in Spanish and maths. Oh yeah.
Sí.
Está bien, por ahora.
Hablo español.
Ay, ay, ay. Mucho o poquina.
Mucho.
Mucho. Ay, ay, ay.
Tengo fluidez en español también.
Ah, bueno, bueno. Yo también, pero no mucho.
Sí,
yeah,
poquito.
Sí.
Entiendo.
And math, wow.
Yes, math was always my strong suit in school. So, mm-hmm. You know, I actually started off pursuing that first.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached a certain point where I couldn't do any more math.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to transfer to the U.S. campus,
mm-hmm.
or switch majors and stay in the Spain campus. Of course, I wanted to stay in Spain, so I switched.
Well, I mean, of course you would learn conversational Spanish and fluent Spanish because you were in Spain, right?
Yes, yes.
So then you switched gears with a new focus in culinary arts. Now, Michelle, Chef Michelle, was trained in France, in French culinary and wine, and in turn in a Michelin star restaurant in Burgundy.
Oui, oui.
Now, after working for 2 years in the UK, in well-known bistros and restaurants, she then completed her master's in hospitality in Switzerland and continued her culinary journey in Mumbai, India. Yeah, yo.
Yes, that's where it's your name.
Wow.
Came from.
That's where Talukdar come from.
Yes, yes.
Wow, nice. Now let me tell you more about Michelle, Chef Michelle. Now she eventually planted roots in Trinidad, focusing on personal chef work, consulting, and raising a family. So guys, put your hands together for none other than the awesome Chef Michelle Talukdar. Oh, that was my intro to you.
What an intro. You did much better than Davey.
Oh my God. Don't say that. Don't tell him anything, eh? How you doing, Chef Michelle? How you doing?
Apart from my hoarse voice, I'm fine.
I see you're struggling there, girl.
Yes. I hope everybody can understand me because this is one of my favorite topics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to strain as much as I can,
mm-hmm.
to make sure I get all my ideas out there.
So it's all about barbecue?
Yes.
All about barbecue. No, is it that you like specializing in you?
No, I don't necessarily specialize in it. I love mm-hmm. eating it. I love barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a lot of childhood memories, good memories around barbecue.
Because
my dad used to barbecue, you know, on a weekend, not every weekend, mm-hmm. but it wasn't necessarily for a special occasion.
Oh.
And we had a very simple round, probably aluminium painted black,
right.
grill on a tripod, nothing fancy, you know, all mm-hmm. these bells and whistles like what we have now,
mm-hmm.
but it tasted so good. And then every school bazaar, you want to make sure you get your barbecue ticket, every
mm-hmm.
fundraiser, you want a barbecue
every
ticket.
Weekend you see a barbecue selling
yes,
out.
And the barbecues tasted really good then,
mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what happened over the last 20 years commercially, but a lot of people have skipped that whole charcoaling process and grilling process. And now it's oven with some barbecue sauce on it. And we raise it up until it kind of burns. And
wow.
Calling that barbecue
so you see, now barbecue revolutionized, right? Yes, that was
no,
it.
We have to call it something different. Don't do that in my memory of barbecue.
No, you mentioned that, you know, barbecue is like a every weekend thing. Someone was always selling some barbecue tickets for a fundraiser, everything like that. Yeah. Why do you think barbecue is such a common choice for a fundraiser, like at parties, at a Lime, or, you know, you want to raise quick money? Why barbecue?
I would say it's one, you can cook a lot of meat at the same time. You know, so you can fill up your grill and it's so flavorful as well, and it's affordable. Really and truly, the simplest way you can go is your seasoned meat and barbecue sauce. And it will still taste good, you know? So you don't necessarily have to cut up onions and garlic, and you don't necessarily have to make a sauce from scratch and all these different things. Of course, you can make your own barbecue sauce, but it's a simple, cheap and cheerful route.
And I see you coming, you're giving me something special this afternoon about a recipe and barbecue sauce. I'll wait for that. Hey, don't ask me that yet. Wait for it. Wait for it. Guys, don't forget, you can send me your questions about barbecuing to 306-1065. And of course, we're going to be taking your calls in a short, all right? Now, I'm no big cook. Right, let me put that outside there. Okay. I like to watch people cook and then be the professional taster.
Oh,
right, that is me.
I'm the professional.
Yes, I am. I have to make sure that everything is everything, right? Now, I know there are various methods in preparing barbecue. How do you prepare your meat and the meats and stuff? How do you do it?
So, initially, I would put everything raw on the grill. I would season it, of course. Mm-hmm. So, for chicken, I would use the local green seasonings and then put a couple spices, some paprika or smoked paprika, depending on how smoky I want it.
Right.
Salt and black pepper and either Dijon mustard or mustard powder.
Oh.
Those will be like the basics.
Okay.
And I would do that with my meats, my red meats like beef or lamb, or even the pink meat like pork.
Mm-hmm.
I would usually do a dry rub, so I wouldn't necessarily put the green seasoning.
A dry rub?
Yeah,
what is
so that would just be all the powdered spices.
And you like rub it down like
so. You mix all your spices. So again, your paprika, salt, pepper, you can use allspice if you wanted to give it that sort of on a jerk avenue sort of feel.
Okay.
Mustard powder, because that really helps to bring out flavor. Onion powder as well. You can use powdered garlic, but I personally like to use fresh garlic, so I never use the garlic granules. Those are just your basics.
Right.
And then you can use dried thyme or any other dried herb you would want. And you rub that into the meat, but you're really rubbing it in. So you're massaging it into the meat, and then you leave it overnight if you can, so that it can be absorbed into the flesh. And that also kind of starts the tenderizing process of the meat as well. And then when you put it on your grill from raw. Yes, you can put it on your grill from raw when you've seasoned it. It's going to be a longer process, which takes you closer to the traditional meaning of barbecue, because barbecue is grilling over hot, like hot wood or, or fire and smoke for a long period of time. But if you're doing it that way, you need to make sure you have a basting liquid. So, some sort
basting
of...
basting liquid.
Yes.
Let me get my paper.
Or stock.
Water, wine, or stock. So is it that you have to soak it in and...
No, when you put it on the grill, every now and then when you check it, you spray some of that onto the meat to maintain moisture as well.
Oh, because it dries it up. It dries the meat.
Inside there, yeah.
So... Is it that when you do it raw, because if you're doing it raw, we're talking raw first, right? Because I know some persons like to boil their meat first.
Right, that yes.
And then do that. But when it's raw and you spray, you look, it's a process.
Yes, it's a process. It, you have to be patient. And you have to temper your heat. You can't just go in there and light up all the coals.
No.
And then everything just charring. Because that's exactly what would happen. The outside would just get black quickly. And if you put a rack of ribs on, it will be crispy and black on the outside and undercooked inside.
Oh, gosh.
So when you get your temperature right, you know, you manage your vents if you have one of those grills.
Mm-hmm.
Or you close it or you open it, depending on how, you know, how you want to control that heat.
Mm-hmm.
And you spray every now and then or baste with a brush every now and then to maintain the moisture. So take it nice and slow.
Mm.
But if you're in a rush, which I tend to be now because I have two kids, I would tend to pre-cook my meats.
Right.
So I would do it in the oven,
mm-hmm.
slow cook it, cover it with foil so that way all the juices come out, especially from chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Lamb is very fatty, so you'll get those oils coming out too.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's about 3/4 way done, then I would put it on the grill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let it get its char. And then last, people, please, last, put your barbecue sauce last because this barbecue sauce is going to burn.
What?
It has sugar in it. Sugar and flame equal caramelization.
Well, true. And, you know, I've seen my sister, because, I mean, I was watching my brothers and my sister barbecue, right? And there's, you know, dip the chicken in the sauce.
Once you get that nice grill on the outside of the meat and you're seeing a little color there, then you can go ahead, put your sauce on, and then put it back.
Oh.
Yeah. But let the meat cook first.
Okay.
Let it cook first.
Well, that's the next thing. Now, I know there's there are different methods. There's the dry one,
right.
Where you, not the dry one, the uncooked meat one first, and you put it in the grill, right? And then there's the one where you could put in the oven.
Yes.
What do you think is the most easy? I know this may be an easy question, but what is the easiest way to do barbecue? A really, really quick way.
Well, first get a small grill so you don't have too much trouble lighting your coals. And this is for people who are using charcoal, by the way, because I tend to only use the charcoal, the briquets or the chunks of coal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like that flavor that comes out of it too, you know, that nice, smoky, slightly woody flavor. So the fastest way I would say is, pre-cook your meat, in the oven. Or some people would literally boil the chicken if you want to do that, sure. But I think when you boil the chicken, if you're putting it in water, you're actually taking away flavor from the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you just cover it and let it cook slowly, it's releasing its own liquid. So that liquid that it releases will be more flavorful.
Ah.
And you could use that as your basting liquid as well when you put it.
Is that stock?
Finish.
Is that what you call stock?
Yes, that will be the stock in a sense. Yeah.
Wow. Now, I know how barbecue started really more or less. It's like when the Spanish plunderers landed in the Americas in 1492, they found the first peoples of Taino smoking meat on a wooden framework resting on a wooden stick above a fire. Yes. Now, the plunderers named the cooking style Bucanier.
Yes. Because a bucan is that wooden framework.
Yeah, the bucanier spread, and it is to more areas of America and beyond. Now, it is believed that the original wood that was used for cooking process is the bark of the cinnamon or bay leaf tree, as these would add flavor to the meat as cooked. Now, I was coming to that question because, mommy, big up yourself. When mommy barbecue and chicken in the little small disposable barbecue thing, right? She put bay leaf in it and pieces of wood.
Yes.
But I never really understood, you know, like why. I thought that was just a norm. What's up with that?
There are so many layers to souping up your barbecue. When I say souping, hyping up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not S-O-U-P, but like how you soup up your vehicle. There are so many layers too, because to me, barbecue can never taste bad unless the meat itself was bad.
Right.
You know? So yes, bay leaf for sure. You could throw in cinnamon bark. If you get flavorful wood like hickory, or apple wood, I mean, these you'd have to buy in the store. But
yeah.
There are different types of wood and herbs growing around us naturally that you can put in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely bay leaf is something you can put in, and the smoke coming out from that will get into the meat and that will flavor it as well.
Because I can't remember ever tasting bay leaf in the meat, you know. Probably mommy wasn't doing
it
properly.
It would be subtle.
Oh, yeah, I'd have
because
a fine.
If she's doing that, she's probably cooking with bay leaf as well in your food.
So she's making it chicken, in the barbecue sauce too.
Yes, and in your stew chicken, she probably puts bay leaf in there as well, and in many other foods. Because bay leaf is one of those must use ingredients in French cooking when you're making stock, for example.
Right. Okay, now the method to buccaneer meat is a lengthy process as the meat is slowly cooked using only heat and smoke. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
And depending on the toughness of the meat, it could take about 8 to 24 hours to fully cook. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. 8 to 24 hours. So you see why we have our oven home? You
yes.
see why?
Yes, oven is quicker, but then say oven... Oven roasted with barbecue sauce.
Oven roasted.
Or you could say oven barbecue so people will understand.
That there's a difference.
I just automatically associate two things. I associate when I hear barbecue automatically is fire.
Right.
And meat.
Well,
and I'll give you a funny story, right? So I told you that I studied in Spain.
Right.
So I lived with a Spanish host mother. We just called her Senora, right? And I actually had a trainee roommate. I bounced up the only other trainee in Madrid at the time. And the Senora invited us to her brother's house in the suburbs for a barbecue. So this is our first time out of Trinidad being invited to a barbecue. And, you know, our parents raised us right, so we didn't want to go with our two hands swinging.
Well, true.
So we ran in the grocery real quick on the way, and we grabbed some packets of meat, chicken legs, I think it was. It wasn't seasoned, but we said, you know, when we get there, we'll
season. Right.
When we get there, first of all we are seeing are sausages and corn and
what?
Like buns.
Yeah.
And only sausages on the grill. So we are thinking, okay, where's
the
hot
dog?
Yeah, this is hot dog, right? This is not barbecue. And then, to our dismay, they took the chicken, they opened the packs and put it directly on the grill.
No.
No lime, no salt, no salt, nothing.
I hope all the ton of them, that chicken.
Not even barbecue sauce they put on the grill. They grilled it just like that. And then they put everything on the table for everybody to eat. And we are looking at each other like, well, we brought the chicken, so it will look bad if we don't eat it, but we can't eat this.
No!
So we kind of just took one piece each and played around with it on the plate. But no, that was just...
You know what you should have done, Chef Michelle? You should have turned up that chicken on that barbecue. But
well, first of all, I wasn't a chef then. And,
but all that we know about barbecue, we have an idea.
You invited to these people's house and you're already under pressure because they only speak Spanish. And you don't want to be imposing.
True.
So
no, you're right. You're
we
right.
Put a lot of barbecue sauce all over it and kind of just ate the outside because it had that charred flavor.
A shame.
I don't know if she will be listening. Her name is Amanda, but I wonder if she remembers this story.
I want to tell Amanda, girl, you remember the time?
Yes. That was horrible. So ever since then, I knew in Europe. Once I was invited to a barbecue, I knew exactly what to expect, so I went prepared accordingly.
Yeah, they were. I hope you carried seasoned meat already.
Yes.
Now, we were talking about buccaneer, and now it has evolved to barbecue as we know it.
Yes.
Replacing the wooden rack with a barbecue pit where the meat is enclosed inside, speeding up the cooking process. So, I mean, it's really not that long, but some people stretch out that barbecue, because at times I say, but find a steak, you know, long or no?
Yeah, it depends on how thick your meat is too. And I mean, you know, in the US, barbecuing is a big deal in those southern states.
Yeah,
and that is like, they have it down to a science, and they would be sitting and manning that grill and taking shifts and all that, because they're roasting some huge joints of meat as well.
So it takes some time.
Take long, yeah.
What is your must-have ingredient to make your flavor pop?
Oh gosh, that's a tricky question.
Really?
No, for me, not necessarily. My must-have ingredient is very basic. I need the charcoal. Because coming from that Spanish experience, I mean, the outside of the chicken was not that bland. That charcoal did something. So you must have a charcoal flavor there for me. I need that. And then, of course, I love the barbecue sauce itself. So I need a good barbecue sauce.
Is it that the barbecue sauce gives it the extra flavor of the barbecue itself?
Yes, I think it rounds it up. It rounds it all up. You must be able to lick your finger. It must be sticky around your mouth when you're eating
right. You're right. You're very good, you know. Now you're making me feel hungry. Now, I had barbecue today.
Oh, you did?
Right, I did. I love barbecue.
Nice.
And I was excited for you to come here because like barbecue, right? And when I ate the barbecue... Now, the outside, it was nice.
Yes.
But when I bit the chicken,
yes,
the inside, it seemed as though that it wasn't cooked properly. right? Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned we have the oven baked, well, the oven cooked, is it? Is it oven cooked barbecue? Mm-hmm. And then the barbecue pit.
Yes.
Tell our listeners, you know, how can we steer away from uncooked meats? What can we do to, you know, to make sure that our meats are cooked properly? What can we do?
Okay, so first of all, the seasoning process does count because that starts the cooking process, especially mm-hmm. the salt, right? So
right.
salt cooks things. If you marinate your meat overnight and then you cook it, it might actually tend to look pink by the bone with chicken.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you would notice, but it is cooked. So don't have fear there. The fail-safe way.
I was scared.
The fail-safe way to know is if you poke the flesh of the meat
mm-hmm.
and the liquid runs out clear.
And the toothpick
coming
or something?
Out, like you could use a toothpick or a skewer or something
mm-hmm.
and just make a small poke into the deepest part of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
closer to the bone.
Right.
And when liquid will run out, the natural juices will run out.
Really?
So if it runs out clear, it means that your meat is cooked. If it runs out pink, it means that it still needs to cook. That's one way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a thermometer, of course,
yeah,
you look for the meat to be cooked around 160, 165 Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know that that is safe for no more bacteria. So even if it looks pink,
mm-hmm.
it is safe. Bacteria cannot survive at that temperature mm-hmm. anymore in the meat.
Ah, I like that. The science behind it.
Yeah.
We have a call. You want to take a call? Let's take a call and see what's up. Hi, good afternoon. You're live?
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, what's up?
Yes, chef.
Talk to me.
Your program sounds very motivating.
Mm.
And I say this in the background. Sometimes I would like the younger ones to hear where chef came from, what village or town she came from.
Mm-hmm.
To work her way up into what she is today. We have to salute her.
Mm.
And secondly,
thank you.
Years ago, there was a Hungarian guy living next to me.
Mm-hmm.
He invited me for dinner one evening, my family. And he did pork in a pit in the ground.
A the pit in the ground?
In the ground.
Okay.
Stone. He said the stone, they put it covered over with fig leaf and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best pork I've ever eaten in my life. It was succulent, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw or heard of anybody doing that again. But like today can be done in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
Great program. Carry on. Have a nice evening.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your call. Wow.
Yes, that is such an interesting cooking method. My
really?
Dad used to camp because he worked with forestry.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to have to camp in the forest and on the beach and stuff.
Yeah.
And I know he said they would cook in the sand sometimes on the beach as well.
Serious?
That's something I would like to do. Not the camping part. But yeah, I'm intrigued by that too.
Wow.
That will be a slow
That
process.
Is some... Well, clearly, I mean, in the ground, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think that would be quite interesting,
yes.
though.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you a personal favorite. When you're having barbecue, what is your personal favorite, what do I call it? Side. I would call it a side.
Yes.
What side do you prefer?
I do like macaroni or potato salad,
mm.
but I have a plea out there to the people who sell macaroni salad. Please do not just mix elbow macaroni with mayo and call that macaroni salad.
No, that's not.
That is not macaroni salad.
What is that then?
That is mayo macaroni or macaroni and mayo.
So you have to have the peas and
we
carrots
need
inside.
To have some sort of salad element in there too, okay? It could be carrots alone, it could be peas alone, it could be corn alone, it could be a mixture, whatever it is. But please don't do that. You're cheating us.
You're not talking to me there, you know?
Yes.
Because I'll make my macaroni salad. But that's it. If I don't have no peas and carrots, I don't
yes,
have no peas and carrots.
If you're doing that at home, fine.
Mm.
But not when I go out there to buy barbecue
no.
and you wrote macaroni salad
no,
on your board.
No.
Don't do that.
I mean just macaroni,
no,
mayo.
No, it's not fair.
Yeah, it's not
Even
fair at all.
Even just grate carrot into it, that's fine. But
yeah.
just don't give me plain macaroni and mayo. Come on, man. And it's happening years now, you know.
Serious?
Yes.
Wow. No, let me tell you my favorite. I like the rice.
Yes.
The rice, the potato salad, and the barbecue chicken. I think that is the ideal.
Yeah.
I don't even need to get greens.
That's
but that, yeah, that is the ideal barbecue for me. Guys, don't forget you can send me a WhatsApp message. Tell me, what do you do? How do you make your barbecue? You can send me a message on WhatsApp. Let me know. Just remember, news is coming up at 5 o'clock. We have Chef Michel Talukde.
Talukda.
Yes. Talukda.
You put a Trini spin on
it. Yeah, boy. Talukda. So Chef Michel, barbecue. What? You said barbecue sauce. We mentioned the barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite type of barbecue sauce to use? Because, I mean, we have all kind of barbecue sauce now, eh?
Yeah.
We have the honey mustard barbecue sauce. We have the sweet one. We have the hickory one. We have the... Mm-hmm. What is the most common barbecue sauce?
I like the hickory barbecue sauce because mm-hmm. I like that smoky mm-hmm. addition to the meat. So that would be my go-to. But I also like... My dad would make, and I'm sure a lot of people do this, they buy the original barbecue sauce and then they add on to it.
Oh.
So we grew up where we would add on to it. So we would put some orange juice in there, grate some garlic,
what,
chop
really?
Up some shadow benny. Of course, you have to have the shadow benny.
Don't have that now. Nah, yeah, barbecue sauce.
Exactly. And for those with that sweet tooth, they might put a little extra brown sugar or honey in it to get a little extra sweetness, depending on how sweet or tangy your original barbecue sauce was.
Wow. Someone says here, hi, Carrie V. Hi, Chef. I usually put Coca-Cola in my barbecue sauce whilst having it boiling.
That sounds quite about right. You could put Guinness in it as well.
Girl.
Yes.
Girl.
Guinness barbecue sauce.
Girl.
That is going to be thick and flavorful.
Wow.
And you can also put cocoa powder in your barbecue sauce. Yes. All of that gives it a nice thickness, like almost a sort of extra velvety, as if barbecue sauce wasn't thick enough.
Well.
But, you know, it depends on the meat you're putting it on.
Mm-hmm.
For red meat, especially lamb, that's when I like to go with those kind of flavors, like the Guinness and the cocoa powder.
Right. Somebody wants to know if they could put alcohol in the barbecue sauce.
Oh, rum.
My gosh.
A little bit of rum. But if you're serving it to kids, I would suggest when you cook it, you put your rum in the pot. If you're adding sugar too, you put your rum and your sugar and you burn off the alcohol. So you just get a lighter and light the alcohol in the pot. And when the flame dies away, all the alcohol would have been gone and you'll still get your rum flavor. Yeah.
What? Olly, I hear this. I have news coming up. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Chef Michel Talukde.
Talukda.
I don't know why Talukda. I feel I have to write and put it here. So guys, don't forget you can send us messages. Tell us how do you make your barbecue? And of course, we're going to be taking your calls. My number 627-3223-625-2257. News is next. Right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Tasty Tuesday, guys. Only on Freedom 106.5 FM on the Overdrive. But today it's with Carrie V and not Davey. I'm holding on for him, going all the way to 6 p.m. And with me, I have the very special, very awesome Chef Michel.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everyone.
Talukde. Talukda. Oh, my God. And you know, I said it correct just now, you know.
I should have put a money jar for you.
I feel so good. Oh, no, you're going to be rich. So, Chef Michel, I know you have a restaurant. I know you have a business. Tell us more about that.
Okay, no, I don't have a restaurant.
Not yet.
No. I consulted with a couple restaurants. So I helped them set up their kitchen and I developed the menus.
Set up the kitchen? What do you mean?
Yes. So if they're building from scratch or they're renovating, you know, advise on the type of equipment that you would need to have in there, work with them with the hiring of the chefs and the training of the staff. And mainly my forte would be in the menu and recipe production.
Oh.
So we come up with menus. And then I would actually scale the recipes and
When you say scale,
there are recipes where you put your finger in the air and you're like, all right, so you just put like two dashes of this and you put some of that. And then there's a recipe where it says, you know, 50 ounces of or 2 cups of.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that for every single menu item you have because in this business, consistency is most important.
Right.
So in order to have that consistency, you need to have a recipe book, especially when you're onboarding new staff for training.
Right.
Until they get used to it where they remember the quantities, you know, off the top of their heads.
Right.
So I worked in that capacity. I give private cooking classes, usually at the client's home. That way you're working within the limitations of your own kitchen.
Right.
So I'm not going to teach you something on a big fancy oven or a grill that you don't have at home. And then when you get home, you can't replicate the same thing.
Right. Well, true. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So how can we reach out to you? If I want to take a cooking class in barbecue. How do I reach out to you?
All right, so my Instagram page is _Elmiche, Ellemiche, and my Facebook page is Elmiche. Elmiche is actually my name. The syllables are my name in reverse. So Michelle.
Elmiche.
Yes. So Elmiche.
That's clever.
Yeah. And of course, you can call me or WhatsApp on 746-8495. And I do a lot of personal chef work. So again, at the client's home, you having an intimate dinner. So it's either date night or you want to have a celebratory meal. You're having a small family event, that kind of thing. I don't do large-scale catering.
Large-scale.
I want to bring the restaurant experience to the customer, give you something you haven't really had before.
Wow.
Into your home or your workspace, because sometimes I would do corporate brunches or corporate lunches, that kind of thing.
Now you're giving me an idea for something, you know, right? Yeah. Now, this personal chef, right? Is it that you would be bringing the stuff and you're making it and then...
Right, so I can do that. I can bring everything and make everything in your home. But what I normally do for the in the interest of time, I would do the preparation beforehand.
Right.
And then I come and I finish off everything at your home. So there are two options. I can cook it and leave it. Or I can bring in my small team and we can serve it for you as well.
Yeah, because I will
one
want
will
the full
be way more expensive than
well,
the other,
true.
But it is worth
but,
it. Again,
I mean, it is.
Bring
because,
the restaurant at home.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of us looks for, you know, like a date night kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't want to go out, but we want to get that restaurant experience.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
I just thought about, you know, I say, Nong here. You know, opposite my significant other, whoever he might be, right? He might be Casper, right? And, you know, I just wanted, thinking about you and your team coming and you're serving me as if I'm in a restaurant, I would really love to get that experience. So that's what you do?
Yes, yeah.
Wow. Well, I had to reach out to them.
Yeah, all plated up nicely.
Durbasa Trace. She could come down, Durbasa Trace, eh? All right? Yes. Someone sent me a message here. Pigs are cooked in the ground in Puerto Rico and Florida, especially around Christmas time. Oh, anyone interested in tasting the meat that's cooked in the ground should visit Puerto Rico Highway 184.
Oh my.
Are you going on a trip now? What are we going
to
do?
I would love to try that. I would really love to. I would like to see that from start to finish too.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole different ball game.
Right, right. Hey guys, don't forget you can send me messages on WhatsApp. Ask your questions 306-1065. You can even call me at 627-3223-625-2257. Someone wants to find out which is more healthy, chef? Barbecue or rotisserie?
I guess rotisserie. But I mean, not by much.
But barbecue
just eliminate
is better.
The smoke a little more. Rotisserie is just heat and the meat itself. I don't know. I didn't even consider barbecue unhealthy, to be honest. It's what you put on it at
on
the end
it,
of the day
yeah.
and what you eat with it.
Yeah.
So I don't really even want to say that one is healthier than the other. Well, yes, because of the smoke.
Right,
and then
right,
because
right.
of what you may use to start your fire. Some people put fuel onto the coal to get it to light quickly. They may put
the lighter fluid.
Yeah, so that...
That gets into the chicken as well?
It can if you put too much, yes. You should kind of let... You have to let that burn off before. So I try to avoid using that altogether.
Let's talk condiments. What is your favorite condiment you like to put on your barbecue? Garlic sauce.
Barbecue sauce. Well, if the barbecue sauce is good. So when I buy, I always pour a little on my finger before I just go spraying it all over the food.
Really?
And then you reach home and the barbecue sauce is too tangy or it's just sweet or it's ketchup. You know, because sometimes they may mislabel the bottle.
Oh.
So. But yeah, barbecue
savory
sauce.
Or sweet? Which is your favorite barbecue?
I like sweet and savory.
What do you mean? Like the both of them at the same time?
I like sweet and savory.
How you can get that mix? How you can get that match?
I mean, most of the barbecue sauces have that element of sweetness in it anyway, right? So I would lean more towards the sweet side. I would just use honey or agave or something a little more natural so I can feel healthier than just using the brown sugar.
Not feel too guilty.
But yes, that's my guilty pleasure. I do like a sweeter barbecue sauce, but not too sweet.
Yeah.
I still want the tang as well.
As
know?
Well, right. Yeah. Well, that sounds kind of nice. Now, we all know that what makes barbecue pop is the sauce, as we now spoke about, right? And let me hear from you guys. How do you make your barbecue? How do you make your barbecue? So send me a message. Call me 627-3223-625-2257. You can even send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Now, did you know, Chef Michel, did you know that it is believed that in 1698, a Dominican missionary named Pierre Labatt visited the French West Indies and witnessed cooks using lime juice and hot peppers to season barbecue meat. You know that?
Really?
Girl, I didn't know that.
Okay, now, that actually is, it makes sense. If who he saw doing that had any African influence.
Ah, and it came from Africa. Traditionally used both lemon and lime juice.
Yes, because, I mean, I helped set up an, at the time we were serving at Stages on the Avenue, mm-hmm. on Arepita Avenue, we were serving African food, authentic African food. So we were, I did a lot of research on African food.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a meat preparation where they marinate the meat in a lot of lemon,
mm-hmm.
a lot of citrus and onions.
Right.
And then they grill it first and then finish it off in a sauce. So that actually makes perfect sense.
Wow. Someone sent us a message again. Hey, good day, Carrie V. Can I get Ellie Mish contacts about the phone, your phone number or your IG again, please?
Okay, so my Instagram is _Elmish. So _ELLEMICHE.
Mm-hmm.
My Facebook page is just Elmish. And my number is 746-8495.
Mm. Guys, call us up right now, 627-3223-625-2257 and 3061. Tell us how, okay, I'll ask that question after. I'm coming. Right. Tell us how you love your barbecue. How do you make your barbecue? How do you make your barbecue sauce? Because I know some people put soft drink in their barbecue sauce as well, ooh, like grape soft drink. So you get like a grape-flavored barbecue. My sister does that.
Okay.
Barbecue wings and all kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, she does that. Someone wants to find, oh, let me get it. How do you keep your barbecue chicken tender?
Again, basting.
Basting.
Yeah, so if you pre-boil it or par cook it,
mm-hmm.
either in the oven or if you're boiling it, but I would say the oven because you'll maintain the flavor. So if you par cook it in the oven and then you put it on your grill and you retain that juice, the juice that came out in the tray after it was cooked in the oven, and you squeeze it on or spray it on or baste it on intermittently while you're finishing it up,
mm-hmm.
it will be tender.
Ah, nice. Chef Michel, let me ask you this real weird question, right? Because I'm a little weird. Right, what is the most craziest barbecue mixture you've ever made before?
Mixture,
yeah, like what is the craziest one for the barbecue sauce?
Oh, for the sauce,
yeah.
Hmm.
What you put in it?
I would not say, I don't think I made anything crazy. I would say maybe the unconventional, which is that recipe that I am supposed to share, right?
Yeah, you're
going
to share.
It's not crazy at all.
Mm-hmm.
The peri-peri barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no tomatoes in it, no ketchup, none of that traditional red stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually chili. It's a base of peppers.
Mm.
So chili peppers, usually the bird's eye pepper or cayenne,
mm-hmm.
and red bell pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And you want a lot more bell peppers than the chilies because the chili peppers are extremely hot.
Well, yeah.
And then you want some red onions and garlic. And you roast all of that.
Mm.
Roast it until it's almost black. And then you blend it up with oregano, salt, lemon juice, some vinegar, some olive oil. You can put a bit of sugar if you want to make it a little sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
And you blend all of that up. And that is good because you can marinate the meat in it as well as after you can baste it on the grill as well.
Wow. And then it will give it a nice flavor.
Yes. So you're getting a very savory, sort of spicy, and the sweetness comes from the onion and the bell pepper.
Yeah.
You know?
Because is it that the onion caramelizes?
Red onions are naturally sweeter than the white onions.
Oh.
They are a lot sweeter. That's why you would tend to see people using it in salads more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little less pungent and sweeter. So, yeah, that's really nice. It's very flavorful.
Yeah.
And that is considered a barbecue sauce, peri-peri, because that is, it has roots in South Africa.
Right.
And in Brazil, certain parts of South America. And in South Africa, they call barbecue braai.
Oh. Okay.
BRAAI. So they'll say bring and bry.
Ah,
so you bring your own meat and you put it on your
and
grill.
You put it there.
And peri-peri is something that they would put on the bry.
And I know, of course, you're going to tell us all about this peri-peri recipe. Carrie V, can you ask Chef Michel if adding butter to the meat before cooking to tender it, if that is okay to do?
If you're putting it directly on the grill without pre-cooking, then sure. If you're pre-cooking it, then don't do that. When you put it on the grill...
But the butter ain't going to melt? How are you putting that butter?
You would just baste it on the meat. But you see, when you do that, your meat has to be dry. Otherwise, it's not going to spread properly on the meat, right? But if you... While the meat is cooking on the grill, you can brush a little butter onto it.
Right.
And it'll absorb it. So it's better to do it in doses than you cover your whole thing in butter and then the butter just drips straight through onto the coals.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about.
From the beginning.
And it might open fire. It might light up. It will light up, right?
Well, I mean, a little more fire wouldn't hurt.
Carrie V, do you steam the meat before cooking it? Can you steam the meat?
Yes, that's pre-cooking.
Right.
So in the oven, it's sort of steaming if you put the foil and you keep it low.
Right,
because if you put the foil, it's not going to get color, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just the heat in an enclosed environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like steaming, or you could do it on the stove if you want to. I just find the oven is way more controlled.
Yeah.
And you can just put it and forget about it and go about your business.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Someone sent us a message. This is my friend Howard Conyers in the red, he's in the red t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I have a picture here. Now, he lives in New Orleans and he is actually a rocket scientist. However, his family business is pit pork barbecue. The image that I'm seeing here, they have like a box in the ground and it have a, I don't even know what it's called that. Like a, I don't know, something iron that they put a slab of pork on. And I would want to assume at the bottom of that, it's lighter fire. And look how they're going to turn it. It looked like they're going to turn that, you know. Papa,
so like a giant rotisserie in the ground kind of
boy.
Something.
I would like to experience that though.
Yes.
I feel we need to go Puerto Rico. What do you think?
Okay, if GML is paying, why not?
That makes sense. Now, guys, as you know, it's on Tasty Tuesday. The chef usually shares a simple but delicious recipe with us. And today is no different. Chef Michel will be sharing a peri-peri barbecue sauce. Now, this sauce does not include tomatoes or ketchup, as we are accustomed to. How? Chef Michel, tell us all about this peri-peri barbecue sauce recipe.
Right. So I just spoke about that just now, which was my unconventional. Let me give you, if you want the... Well, I don't know if our listeners are going to be jotting this down, but it'll probably be on the page.
Yeah.
So you would want to use about 1/8 cup of bird's eye chilies, ideally, which are the very, very small chilies. They almost look like Thai chili peppers. The cayenne ones are skinny, but they're a lot longer.
Right.
So you can use either or. If you could get the red ones, then it's better for your look, but it wouldn't affect the flavor.
Right.
And then you're going to use 1 very large red bell pepper, 2 medium red peppers, 6 cloves of garlic, and you're going to roast all of that till it's black.
When you say roast it, like,
you could put it on an open flame if you have a gas stove.
Mm-hmm.
You could stick them on a skewer and roast them on the open
flame. Oh, like that, right.
Yeah.
You can put it in a pot.
Not a pot. The next option will be put it in the oven and put it on broil.
Oh,
until it gets black and you just have to
turn it around. Yeah. Right. That makes sense, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you let that cool down a bit and you put that in a bullet blender. You want something that's going to puree it well if you want it smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could do it chunky. It depends on how you're going to use the sauce after.
Ah.
Because if you want to use the sauce as a condiment, you might like it a little chunky too. So you put all your roasted veg in the bullet blender with 2 teaspoons of oregano, 2 teaspoons of salt, or 3 teaspoons of salt. It depends on how salted. And of course, the size of your peppers and the chilies and all that would affect the amount of salt you would need, depending.
Right.
1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1/4 cup of red wine vinegar, and 1/4 cup of oil.
Red wine vinegar?
Yes.
I've ever tasted that.
You'll see that commonly in the supermarkets. You could use red wine vinegar or you can use apple cider vinegar.
Right, I know about that one. Yeah. But apple cider vinegar, I'm going to give it a little...
No, the apple is fruity. So it's not going to be as tart or sour as just plain white vinegar. It's actually going to add to the flavor of the outcome, you know.
But that is a first time try. Yes. I don't mind trying it. And then a quarter cup of olive oil, right?
Yes. And then if you want to put a twist to it, I think these are the better options. Instead of adding sugar, you can use fruit puree, either mango or pineapple, for example.
Mm.
If you could get it fresh, even better, like a nice juicy Julie mango.
Oh my gosh.
Or pineapple chunks.
Yeah.
And you use about a quarter cup of that to the mixture and you blend it in as well. So you can have a mango peri peri sauce. You can have a pineapple peri peri sauce. You Papa, know. You,
so everything is going together in that little, the magic bullet.
Yes.
Right? So zoot, zoot, zoot.
Yep. Blend it up.
Wow.
And then you're good to go. So you could pour some of that on your meat when you're, when you're seasoning it and let it marinate overnight. And then the rest of it, you baste on your meat when it's barbecuing on the grill. And in this case, if you're doing that, you can actually put it on from the start because there isn't a lot of sugar in it. So the meat is not just going to burn as quickly as you would if you used a thick and sweet barbecue sauce.
Because sugar is what burns quicker. Wow. Now, what is the method? Tell us about the method and how we're doing. I know you just mentioned it, and I saw that we have to roast the raw ingredients. I'm going over again because, I mean, some people want to say, well, you know, say that again. Right. Yes, so what you do, the method, is you roast the raw ingredients over an open flame until they are almost black. Yes. Not black. Almost. So they had to check that. Eh? You hear that, Derbasa Trace? You need to check it before it turn black. Anyway. Combine all the ingredients in the Magic Bullet blender and blend until smooth or blend to a chunky finish. So that's for the guys who wanted chunky. Yeah. But you could also like season the meat with it.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You could do that as well.
You just put a little bit in with your other seasonings if you still want to use green seasoning, because yes, we always have to use green seasoning on everything. So this will just add.
If I had a piece of bay leaf in it.
Oh, you know what?
What's that?
Bay leaf. Should be there. That's my bad. Thank you so much for reminding
me. I just think about bay leaf.
Yes, bay leaf should be in that recipe. So you can put two bay leaves in there. Okay? And please, before you put it out, add in bay leaf to that. Well, look at that. You see? People learning already.
Yeah. I'm ready to make a barbecue sauce and I'm ready to go and course on my sisters and them, you know.
Yes.
Because they are the cooks.
This will taste lovely with wings as well, you know. So you fry your wings and then you toss it into the same peri peri sauce.
Yeah. And what you could do, guys, you can even add a quarter cup of desired fruit puree for a twist. So like the mango or the pineapple. The pineapple would probably taste awesome, you know.
Yes.
Yes. And there you have it.
I've done both before. I just want to double back to a question you asked. So you asked me about the weirdest sauce I've made.
I don't have that.
But I have the weirdest barbecue I've heard about. I had a friend in college who was Japanese, and he said in Japan, and I can attest to this because I went and I checked it out and everything, and I had friends who visited as well, and they tried it for me. In Japan, they barbecue skewers of meat, and they call that yakitori, right?
Yakitori.
And there's yakitori gristle.
What?
So you know the gristle from the chicken breast, for example, that triangular.
Yeah,
piece.
The
now I love gristle. That's a guilty pleasure. It might be weird for some people, but that's a
thing. I
love gristle. So when he told me that there is a place that just barbecues gristle, I said, "Are you crazy?
What?
Are you serious?" And I had to check it out myself, and it's true. Skewers and skewers of gristle. And I think I would have just died and gone to heaven if I had. So I don't know if anybody else has heard of this.
I have never heard about that. I mean, I know it from, you know, from on the chicken and you just eat it and call that junk, but barbecue? Yeah,
they grill it. Yep.
You ever tried it? You ever think about trying it?
I should. It's just the work to cut out all that.
Nobody waits. Just get like about 5 pieces of chicken, take it out from 5 and just try 5.
I must try it.
And do a video. Let's see.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that is quite interesting. Yeah. I can't even imagine how they do that.
Yeah.
Like, how they doing that? That had to be real big.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, it's stranger things in Asia. You see so many things in the markets that you never think of eating. But this is something that I could definitely try.
Yeah, and do a video. Tag me in it because I really want to see
that. Okay, when I do it, I will, for sure.
So guys, that was your recipe, peri peri barbecue sauce. And let me go over again. It's 1/8 cup of bird's eye chilies. Get the small ones.
Yes.
1 large red bell pepper. 2 medium red peppers. 6
2 medium red onions.
Red onions. Yes. Okay, I'm seeing there. Okay. But let's put red onions. 2 medium red onions. 2 medium red onions. 2 medium red peppers. Yeah. 6 cloves of garlic. 2 teaspoons of oregano,
mm-hmm.
right? 2 teaspoons of salt and 1 tablespoon of lemon juice. Also, quarter cup.
Put in the bay leaf.
Yeah, let me put in the bay leaf there. We have to make this thing good.
Yes. 2 bay leaves.
2 bay leaves.
Yes. And put some big ones, not the small.
2 big ones. Right. 2 big. Yeah, boy, the small ones already make sense.
No.
Yeah, we want the big ones. Yeah. 2 big, huge bay leaves. I'm adding that there. And 1/4 cup of olive oil. Peri peri barbecue sauce. I go and try this one.
Yeah, you can try it. And then, of course, you can adjust it to suit because some of the peppers, you don't know what the heat is going to be like until you actually try it. Mm. So it might be a little too hot still for you. If it comes out too hot, add more bell pepper.
Oh.
Right? The bell pepper is going to help to tame the spice down. Don't add a lot more sugar or anything like that.
Oh, shucks. I would add more sugar.
No, add more bell pepper. That's going to add the fleshiness and the thickness to the sauce too.
Right,
and bell pepper is naturally sweet. The red onion is naturally sweet. And those bird's eye chilies are actually good for you. They're full of vitamin C as well.
Wow.
So it's not bad at all.
Much healthier than
the traditional barbecue sauce.
Nice, like a pie. Now, guys, to make bookings with El Mish,
yes.
Personal Chef Services, you can contact Chef Michel Talukdar at 746-8495 or you can email her at bookellemiche@gmail.com. Tell you on Instagram and Facebook.
Instagram _Elmish_ELLEMICHE. And Facebook, it's just El Mish. My logo is an M in the middle with 2 small E's on the side. So you'll be able to see it.
Well, at least it's not small like the but it's more like the bay leaves, no?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But thank you so much, Chef Michel, for coming and gracing us with your presence and
thanks
telling us all about
me.
Barbecue. I mean, I'm going to try this peri-peri barbecue sauce. And guys, when you're making your sauce, hey, what to do? When you're making all your sauce, do a video for me. Tag El Mish in it. Tag Chef Michel, tag Freedom 106.5, and here's what I want to see.
Yes, especially the more adventurous type of barbecue sauces. All right.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Yes, this is Tasty Tuesday, guys. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's much more. Keep it locked.
When you need the independence to speak your mind, you take it on the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5 FM.